Welcome to
2 o'clock with Kella.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We're back, episode 3. Woo! We're gonna delve into some Christmas stories and poems. We've both read the vintage Christmas collection of stories and poems.
Yes, published by Thomas Nelson.
There we go, well done.
Thank you.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, which is all pretty much Victorian stories, right?
Yeah, and there's a couple of the poems are early 20th century.
Oh yeah, there's a war one at the end, isn't there?
Yeah, but it's mainly Victorian stuff.
Yeah.
19th century, sorry.
Oh yeah. It's got a really good range of writers in it, hasn't it? It's got Ella Montgomery, Louisa May Alcott, Christina Rossetti, Anne Bronte, Charles Dickens,
Mark Twain.
Yeah, William Thackeray.
Yeah.
All of them are in there. And a couple of people that I didn't know, actually.
Yeah, actually, same here. I also know people I didn't know, so that was fun. A nice mix.
Yeah.
Different stories.
Yeah, I don't actually know what the longest story would be in there, like in terms of how long it would take to read, how many pages.
I think potentially either A Country Christmas.
Oh yeah, that Louisa May Alcott one.
Yeah, I think maybe that one, or maybe I think some of the Montgomery ones were a little bit longer.
Yeah, but I don't know how many pages it would equate to, because I listened to the audiobook, but on the audiobook, the longest short story was an hour to listen to at normal speed, but most of them were about 20 minutes or normal speed.
So I mean
it's in the name, isn't it, short story, but the point I'm getting at is that it's a really good collection to dip in and out of, and it's so palatable, like very easy to read, and can get you in the festive mood.
Yes exactly, and some of them are so short they're literally a page long.
Yeah, especially like all the poems as well at the end. So
yeah, there's no like massive long epic poems in there. So
yeah,
it was quite fun. I don't often read much festive literature.
No,
because of course you can only read it within like a month period.
Yeah,
I've never really bought any Christmassy books before or read them. Apart from Let It Snow, which we're actually going to be talking about.
It was very fun, and I think especially because going back to what you say about like not reading a lot of festive literature, because I'm the same, I think it was especially nice that we got something a bit different to the usual of A Christmas Carol. Because I can't even think of other festive books other than Little Women, which we spoke about last Christmas, but then like when we were researching, even because we did want to do a literary episode, there's not that many Christmas books out there apart from like, there's loads of the more like chick lit kind, which I'm partial to reading, but otherwise not really. I think this is like the best of what classical literature we have. I think this is the best
definitely.
Of. So that's pretty cool. So I would say it's overall a 3 stars for the collection from me, because there's ones I don't like, ones I do like. But there are some stories in there that definitely are worth like more stars, like definitely 4 stars. But I think if I could recommend a festive book to you to read, then this one would be it.
Yeah, because it does, it allows you to kind of, you don't have to commit loads of time to it. And all of the stories have a kind of similar theme and ideas that they're getting through. So even though some of them are better than others, whichever one you pick, you're still going to feel all really, really sweet, festive and lovely.
Yeah.
So, and it's a shame we couldn't find a hard copy anywhere. I thought there could be one in the library, but there isn't.
Yeah, same. No. But the good thing about it is that because it's all classic text, 19th century, it's all in the public domain. So
yeah,
if you Google it, you'll be able to find... You found all of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I found all of them just out there. On either poems.org had all the poems.
Yeah.
And I think there was like Gutenberg, however you say it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was I found a whole website of 19th century literature, which had loads of the short stories on.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't take much Googling at all. I literally just typed in the titles and the authors and found them all. So they're all out there.
Yeah, and I'd say that the stories are all pitched at a similar level to A Christmas Carol, in terms of, you know, it's like all good for children to read, but obviously it is more archaic language. So plenty for everyone to enjoy.
Definitely.
Yeah. Should we pick a couple of specific stories or poems to talk about?
Yeah, maybe my memory of them.
Well, yeah, because we made the point what you said earlier, and I agree that they all do blend into one if you read them all in one go at
which
once.
Is what we kind of both did, so we would not recommend doing that if you're to read them yourself.
Yeah, no, I think it's more fun to dip in and out of whenever you're in the mood. Because I mean, the true meaning of Christmas, a lot of people would say, is, you know, love, being kind to each other, giving. And so the main themes of all the poems and stories is about giving to other people, and especially looking after the poor. Well, the poor, as you would imagine in, you know, Victorian England.
Yeah.
Very blanket term. Or like people learning the true meaning of Christmas. So forgive us if we do mix anything up.
Because that will probably happen.
Yeah, it seemed like one... that's not to say all the stories are like the same and it's not worth reading. It's just there are similarities between them that overlap with one another and get confusing if you just read all back to back. But anyway, what stories did you enjoy?
I really enjoyed the first one, the Christmas Dream one, about it's the Louisa May Alcott. A little girl, she gets told the Christmas Carol Dickens story by her mum or nurse or something.
Yeah, because she's fed up of Christmas at that point.
Yeah, she's like, at the start. I'm done. It's too boring. I've had 10 Christmases now.
Yeah.
I don't want it anymore. She learns that, and then she has a dream that she's visited by a Christmas fairy of sorts.
Yeah, some kind of spirit thing.
Some kind of spirit. And they have this really fantastic Christmas where they're kind of giving back to people. And then she wakes up the next day and she's like, Mum, this is what I want to do. I want to do this to make Christmas exciting again. So her mum arranges it all and she's able to help. I don't know what is it. Do they go to an orphanage?
Yeah, I don't know. They go somewhere where there's, I don't know if they explicitly say, but it's a lot of children who aren't as well off as she is, lots of girls. And so she goes to give them a lot of presents.
Yeah, and she gets to be this kind of Christmas fairy, Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
And she realises the true meaning of Christmas and decides that she really enjoys this kind of newfound way of Christmas, that rather than it just all being about receiving things, it's about giving things and making Christmas great for everyone.
Yeah.
I thought it was really sweet.
It was so sweet. I think that was one of my favourite stories in it. Yeah. And it was also a really short one as well, which is even nicer. And it really did remind me of Little Women, actually.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Tell it's the same author, same theme.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it pretty much is the same story of, you know, on Christmas, they go over and give all of their food to that family who are really struggling in the winter, and then they get back and they have a massive feed laid on for them by Mr. Lorry. And they don't in this one. I think this one is even sweeter because I love the relationships between the children that Effie, little girl, goes to help, and she gets given a little doll by one of them because she says, we've not had any presents this Christmas. Here's a little something for you. And I thought that was really, really sweet. Because, really, you know, understandably, like, all children want little presents, even, you know, she is a rich gal.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so cute. Yeah.
Yeah, and she had a really sweet relationship with her mum as well.
Yeah.
And I loved her mum's willingness to be like, okay, we'll do it this way.
Yeah.
So you can see it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Definitely. I thought that was really sweet. Yeah, I found it so fun because the whole idea is when she falls asleep and meets this spirit, that they're in some kind of Christmas land.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the night before Christmas.
Mm.
In a way, I mean, the nightmare before Christmas, sorry, I'm thinking of the poem. And it's so magical as she gets to go to like all the little workshops and that. I think, imagine if you were that little girl, how exciting that would be.
I know, and then waking up next day and being like, wow, it's so amazing. Let's
and isn't it, sorry,
do it.
Isn't it so sweet when her mum says, oh, like you were clapping and laughing all through your sleep?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, that's so sweet. She must have had the best dream ever. Like, that's the kind of dream I would have.
Yeah, it is so, so heartwarming.
Yeah.
And I think it's nicer than, well, I'm a big fan of Christmas Carol. I keep talking about it because it's literally the only Christmas story to compare with.
Yeah.
But it's nicer in that this is more like a medium level. It's not someone who's super savage and is just absolutely done with Christmas. It's a little girl who's more so like doesn't yet really grasp what Christmas is all about. And for her, it's always been about getting loads of presents.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a really nice middle ground of her being a bit reluctant about it all and then getting to go on an adventure, and she's not scolded as such. She's just showing like what the potential of what she could be doing at this time of year. And so I think it's more so like it's just palatable and not overly moralistic. So I feel like a lot of these stories could be very moralistic. It's more so like she has fun in it, which I think is the most important thing. So I think it would be a really cute story to reach to kids.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could just imagine, I'm sure if I was read that as a kid, the dreams you would have that night would be fantastic.
Yeah. Definitely.
Can you imagine yourself in this little Christmas land as such?
Yeah. Having some soup.
Really.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great one to start the whole collection with as well.
Absolutely.
Such a fun one.
It is. And because, and also it gave me vibes of, you know, did you ever read the Naughtiest Girl in the School series? Ina Blyton one. I don't even know if I read that one. It was like Amelia Jane or something. Anyway, it gave me like Ina Blyton vibes in that. She is a lovely girl, but a little bit cheeky. And she goes and she looks in on, is it the elves are having a lesson or something? And then, or maybe not elves, but she looks in on a lesson and she's seen as a disrupting presence to them peering in. And she's like, look how well behaved they are. And she realises like how other people get on in their lives, not just at Christmas, but more so just how everyone behaves. And she's like, wow, this is so incredible. Maybe I should be like this as well.
Yeah.
Wait, was this, it was in this story, right?
That happened? I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty sure. I think there was another one as well that was talking about behaving well. I can't remember.
Okay, probably.
But I think, no, it was a bit in this one where she's in her kind of Christmas land. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like the element as well. And I did take a screenshot of a description I liked, I believe. So let me pull that up just while we talk about this one story, and then we can chat about some more. Let's see. I really like this bit. In one place, many little spirits sewed like mad on warm clothes, turning off work faster than any sewing machine ever invented, and great piles were made ready to be sent to poor people. Other busy creatures packed money into purses and wrote checks which they sent flying away on the wind, a lovely kind of snowstorm to fall into a world below full of poverty. How cute is that, the idea of this snowstorm that they're sending off all these presents in?
That's really sweet.
That is,
and really magical as well.
The imagery is so, so stunning. Super magical, as you say. And you really feel, I don't want to say cold, but like snowy.
it gives you that kind of cozy feeling.
Yeah, that's a better word. It's very cozy and wintry. And I think it, as you said, perfect way to start off the collection. So did you enjoy the other Louisa May Alcott one?
Yeah, I did, because again, that also felt a little bit like perhaps the latter part of Little Women.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
I think because you then end up having these kind of two marriage plots turn up with these characters, which was really sweet. And it was,
yeah, it was. And realizing, like, oh, I'm meant to be with you, that kind
which was lovely. And I think because that one was a bit longer, you got to kind of delve into each of the characters a little bit more, which was quite nice. But no, that was really sweet as well. But that's one that sort of felt like it was just set at Christmas time.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, it didn't have the Christmas spirit as such.
But I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I the thing about Louisa May Alcott's writing that I really enjoy is that it still feels very relevant to today in terms of the writing isn't too archaic and so readable. And as I spoke about, like, the imagery is so stunning, especially like how she describes nature. It's so naturalistic, but also relevant in terms of, I just think, especially for Little Women, like, everyone can relate to being a Jo. You know, or, well, maybe a Meg, if they're not that, like, bolshy.
Well, yeah, they can each relate to one of the sisters.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, but it's just so romantic. I think it's romantic in terms of whether, you know, actual romantic relationships and, like, people falling through the ice and going to save people. There's a lovely drama in it, but also romantic in terms of, like, she's so good at painting a whole little world. Whether it be, like, in a dreamland or going to an actual, you know.
Yeah, a little house in the country.
So this is really, really cute. Was this the one where she wrote stories? Where she was a writer?
I think one of the guys was a writer. Hey. And there were some interesting lines about how he saw some of the other characters as characters. Because I think there was
that's one really cool.
He says about the mum. Because I think he does something really lovely. And he says something about how she's such a wonderful woman and he wants to turn her into a character.
I would say there is a lot online written about this. I found quite a few blogs. Well, I haven't fully read them, I just scanned through them. But some really cool, interesting articles that are more, like, critical about these stories, as in, like, literary criticism.
Yeah.
Because obviously this is just our first little go at them. So I'd say if you do read the stories, or if you're more interested in hearing more about Louisa May Alcott from a bit more of a literary perspective, if you literally just Google Louisa May Alcott Christmas stories, loads and loads of fascinating stuff to be found on the internet.
There's a gold mine for things like this.
Yeah. But onwards we go. This is a whistle stop tour.
Yes. What other ones did you enjoy?
Okay, well, my favourite ones were all the Ellen Montgomery ones. Those are actually 5 stars for me. And when I ended up thinking about them, they were so adorable. I was sat there, just so, they just really made me emotional. I love how he writes, because when I was little, I read Anne of Green Gables. My grandma gave it to me, and I really enjoyed that. I couldn't tell you now what it's about. I was so tiny when I read it. it was such a joy to read these, and especially after, because I think his stories in the collection, do they follow Louisa May Alcott's?
Yeah, they do.
And I just think these ones, because there are 4 of them. And none of them are too long either. They feel much more like homely, and I don't know, just like a bit of fun. My favorite one was called A Christmas Inspiration. And I also enjoyed Aunt Cirilla's Christmas Basket.
Because
they were stuck, tell me if I'm talking about the wrong one, but they were stuck on a train. And they couldn't get anywhere for Christmas, and so the aunt, I just loved her basket. She just had it absolutely packed full of basically a whole Christmas dinner.
Yeah, because if they were going to give it to someone else, but they got stuck on the
take
train.
It wherever.
And then they end up just having this wonderful time all together on the train with all the stuff in the basket.
I enjoyed. I love food is such an important symbol in so many of these Christmas stories. Yeah. And a symbol for bringing people together, like a single symbol of class. And yeah. I love it being this unifying factor. And it's just so fun, this image of a woman having so much food on her. And I was like, that would so be my mum if we're going on a journey. And they're like, oh, I'm hungry, and bringing out all this other stuff. Yeah. I was like, that is amazing. What a train journey. It's really cute. I love it with Christmas stories when they're set all just in one place, and it feels even more cozy and intimate, because I think Christmas is very much about like the inside, not the outside, you know, like all the interiors, everyone being like grouped and huddled together, you know, like embracing one another. So I really love that. What did you think of the Ellen Montgomery stories? Did you enjoy them?
I really enjoyed them as well. I thought they were really, really sweet. Like, there's no overt magicalness in them, but you're able to create that kind of sense of this being a kind of great magical time where anything can happen, which was really sweet.
And I was wrapping Christmas presents listening to a thing of the Christmas inspiration, well actually all of them, I think, and that made it even more magical. I loved it.
Yeah, because it's that the one where like they just get an idea, they're like, this is what I want to do for Christmas this year or something. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, was that it?
What happened? What my note says, putting aside differences so everyone can enjoy Christmas. What did I mean by that?
Is this the one where she's like, I don't know what to get anyone else for Christmas? And so
And they collate all the, they all go get little bits together. Is that the one where is that a different one? There was one where there was one, they were at like a boarding school or something.
And there was one. That was my favourite one.
And there was one
of the girls who
didn't have anything and never got any presents. And all the others decided that they were gonna they were gonna give this girl presents, and they wrote a really beautiful letter as well to kind of just spread that Christmas cheer. I think it might be a Christmas inspiration.
Was it?
Yeah. Because they didn't really like her, but they felt bad that she didn't get any presents or didn't have anything normally. So they were like, let's make this Christmas different for her.
Yeah.
Whatever one that one was lovely.
Oh, I'm thinking, okay, I don't know. Just shouldn't bear this better. Oh, no. Okay, I was about to say that another one that was my favourite apart from that one, I was like, I don't know which one it is, but now I do, was William Dean Howells. I don't actually know this man. Like, I don't know what else he's written.
Neither, but Christmas Every Day.
That was my favourite. That was so fun. I was telling my mum about that. If you were to read only one book from this one story from this collection, please read that one, Christmas Every Day. Yeah. It's so fun. Really, I love that. The idea. So this little girl, she decides she just loves Christmas. Well, it's her, the girl asks her father to tell her a story. And so he tells a story about another little girl who absolutely is not that girl, who really loves Christmas and asks the Christmas fairy for it to be Christmas every day. And it's such an interesting idea that he goes through in the story of what it actually would be like if it was Christmas every day. And it's really, really inventive. I absolutely love the idea.
Yeah, because it shows a kind of representation of what it actually would be like and how it actually would be so great and so special all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally see, like, you have songs about it being Christmas every day, you hear people say it, but you don't see the reality of it, and this story presents that in such a way that makes you appreciate Christmas even more.
Yeah, definitely.
Because she eats for a year of Christmases every day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I think also because so often Christmas stories are about how Christmas is the best thing ever, but actually, well, if you read last year, I did also mention this, the Last Christmas collection, that actually is the complete opposite. That's, you know, it's not a story, it's essays, but it's so many people talking about how Christmas is a really difficult time for them. And so this story doesn't do that to the same extent. It still, you know, says like Christmas is a lovely day, but it recognises that it's all about opulence and gluttony.
Yeah.
And it's a very unsustainable practice in terms of like the financials. And so I think this verges on being cynical, but it still recognises that Christmas is joyous. So I think this is actually quite a nice mix of everything.
Definitely. I 100% agree.
It's so funny, like, there's literally no turkeys left in the world, and like the price of coal is like quadrupled.
Yeah, and it's like just the booksellers and the bakeries and things are doing really well, and all the other shops are not.
Exactly, a good idea.
Such a good idea, really fun.
Do you have time to go on to maybe poems or
poems? I really enjoyed The Mahogany Tree by Thackeray.
That was lovely. Yeah,
I think just because it was all about unity and being together, and this kind of Christmas tree being like a fireplace, being like a place for people to kind of gather, this tree being this place, and it just felt really magical and lovely and warm, and I could just imagine it just being really lovely and warm and cozy. So I really enjoyed that. It's just fascinating.
And also with that one, that was lovely to hear, because it's quite an assonant poem, and that one was being read aloud on Audible, when actually they had different voices for each of the authors, different actors. And that guy did a really good job with that one. And also, I quite like that this poem is very, it's not overly flowery in terms of it sticks with this one theme of this mahogany tree, and it's just uses simple language, but it's comforting, I think, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It must be really lovely hearing all the poems. Poems are meant to be heard aloud.
Yeah, exactly.
So cool listening to them.
Yeah, especially on 2x speed.
Speedy poems.
Yeah, it was great. They were done in 30 seconds. I was like, oh, wow. What a whistle stop tour that was. It does. It's really fun because it changes the rhythm of them so much. And so you don't.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, you don't quite get the rhymes, but it still is, it's fun. I enjoyed doing that. And then I read some of them again afterwards and I was like, oh, that seems completely different now I've looked at it.
Yeah. What ones did you like?
Well, weirdly enough, I liked, there was an excerpt from In Memoriam. It was I really liked that. I was surprised because I did not like In Memoriam when we studied it however many years ago. As a collection, and I think it's a lot.
Yeah, and I think by just separating a little bit out of it, I think you're able to appreciate it a lot more rather than just having a book length poem.
Yeah.
Which does kind of get a bit draining. So I 100% agree. I didn't think I'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I did. And I was like, oh, maybe I do like Tennyson.
Yeah.
Not in crazy quantities.
No, I think with someone like Tennyson, where every word is loaded with meaning, I think it's too much to, well, you know, when we have to read In Memoriam in a short space of time, I think it's something where I need to take each poem separately and spend time with them. Yeah. And so I just, reading it all in one thing, I was like, oh, no, I can't really comprehend it. But this excerpt, I'm actually, I screenshotted my favourite lines. I thought this was especially beautiful, especially because, Ring Out Wild Bells, it's got so many onomatopoeias in it. And I think Bell's a motif in the rest of the collection, if I remember correctly.
So,
I didn't remember it being Christmas in it, but then it is set over a year or whatever in it. So, anyway, okay, right. I really enjoyed the first stanza, actually, which is, "Ring out wild bells to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light. The year is dying in the night. Ring out wild bells and let him die." Okay, that wasn't very jolly to end on, but...
No, but no, I really enjoyed that first stanza as well. I think it just sets it up really well.
Yeah, Tennyson has really gorgeous meter, and I think that it's... I just love that, like, his line structure. Everything is always so structured with him. My English lecturers from Exeter are rolling over right now. Like, what do you mean? It's got nice structure. But you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Other honourable mentions from the content page. I did actually really like the final one, Joyce Kilmer's Wartime Christmas, because it's just something a bit different.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, I enjoyed, I don't know who they are, but Kate Douglas Wiggin and Nora A. Smith wrote The Story of Christmas. That's also a lovely one if you want more recommendations of what to pick out.
Yeah, and I think that was a bit of a slight, like, shift to a lot of the other stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely recommend. What's happening to my voice? Definitely recommend kind of dipping in and out of these sort of stories, or just having a Google to find some Christmas stories or poems to get you in a festive mood.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So we hope you enjoy reading some festive stories if you do. And we will be back with another festive movie episode.
Yes. Thanks for listening to
Tea O'Clock with Keller.
See you next time.